Bibles with me and turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21. 1 Samuel chapter 21. And stand with me if you will. We will be reading the whole chapter of 1 Samuel chapter 21, but only consider verses 10 through 15 and then verse 1 of chapter 22. We'll begin our reading in chapter 21 and verse 1. The Bible says, "Then came David to Nob and to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David and said unto him, 'Why art thou alone and no man with thee?'" See, Ahimelech knew something was going on with this. He knew something wasn't right, because a man like David, a man who had men with him, he was a man like a general or a commanded man. He knew that people would be with him in this time. In verse 2, "And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, 'The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place.'" David had told a lie right there, because in the chapters before King Saul, he's wanting to kill David. David's being hunted by King Saul. So David lied to the priest and said that. In verse 3, "Now therefore, what is under thine hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand, or what is there present?" And the priest answered David and said, "There is no common bread under mine hand, but there is hollow bread, if the young man have kept themselves at least from women." And David answered the priest and said unto him, "Of a truth, women have been kept from us about these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in the manner of common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel." So the priest gave him hollowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread, and was taken from before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, "And there is not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." There you go, he lied again. And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." And then we're coming up to our text right now, in verses 10 through 15. "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, 'Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another in him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before them, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. Then Achish said unto his servants, 'Lo, ye see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?'" In chapter 22, verse 1, just read that, and then you can sit down. "David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to meet him." Let's go ahead and pray, and then you can be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing us to come to your house today. Thank you for the safety you allowed us to have in travels. Lord, I ask that you'd bless this time. Lord, give me the words to say. Help me today, Lord. Just pray that you bless your word and help us to hear it as well. In your name, Jesus Christ, amen. All right, you may be seated. All right, I've titled this message, "Moments of Fear." And responding in fear has caused terrible outcomes in the past, but responding in faith has caused people to trust God with their future. We need to have a definition of fear, something that we can work with. Definition of fear: a painful emotion, action, or passion excited by an expectation of evil, or the apprehension of impending danger, something that's going to hurt you. Now, we have some examples in the Word of God that have shown us examples of fear. Now, when Adam and Eve were made, they felt no fear. They were sinless. They're perfect. But once they sinned by eating the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, humanity was cut off from God and the Lord's goodness, and we fell into our sin nature. Now, the next day, God came looking for Adam and Eve, and they heard God coming, but they hid themselves behind the trees. They hid themselves, and God found them and asked them why they had hid. And do you know what Adam said? Pretty close. Genesis 3:10. Abraham, and he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And then God said, "Who told you?" And this is the first time humans have felt fear. It was when Adam and Eve sinned. Now, Moses was afraid to leave his comfortable shepherd's life behind and confront the terrible Pharaoh. Another instance, the 10 spies whom Moses had explored the promised land were afraid and caused the Hebrews to wander around for another 40 years. That was because of their fear. Now, Gideon is often considered by most people the poster child or the poster boy of fear. When God first commanded him to rescue the Israelites, Gideon was hiding in a wine press to escape his enemies in Judges chapter 6. Now, throughout the entire story, Gideon, he demonstrated fear, anxiety, and doubt. He constantly tested God by asking him to perform signs. First, he had God consume an offering of food he presented to the angel. Next, he petitioned God to send morning dew only on a piece of fleece he had laid out. And then the next time, finally, just for good measure, he thought, I might as well just lay it out again, and then but ask God to do the exact opposite. So he did that. Gideon was afraid, but when he finally put his trust in God and obeyed, the Israelites were freed from 7 years of oppression. They were freed. God blessed in that. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was tempted by fear, but he did not run away from his eternal destiny to save mankind from their sins. Jesus didn't give in to the fear, the temptation. One person, Corrie Ten Boom, wrote, "Never be afraid to trust an unknown future to a known God." Fear affects everyone. Fear can be seen in many instances in the Bible, in the lives of Adam and Eve, Moses, Gideon, and Jesus. Now, the text we're going to consider today deals with David and the fear he had and the solution he came to at the end of the at the beginning of that next chapter. Now, before we dive into the text, it's kind of hard to just jump right into one chapter without knowing anything else about it, looking at the context of it. But David, he's the shepherd boy. He's taking care of his father's sheep. He's the youngest son he's the youngest son in 1 Samuel 16. That's where he's taking care of his father's sheep. He played the harp for King Samuel when he was troubled by the evil spirit. That's also in chapter 16 later on. He killed the Philistine champion Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, giving us some background. At one point, Saul's rage turned against David, and Saul wanted to kill David desperately. But Jonathan, Saul's son, wouldn't let this happen. That was in 1 Samuel 19 and 20. Now, after the epic scene of Jonathan and David parting ways, their souls still knit together, but the distance between them, David moved on to a place called Nob and met Ahimelech, the priest, which we see in chapter 21 at the beginning. Now, from Nob, he moves to a place called Gath in verse 10 in our text today, what we're going to consider. Now, David left the land of Israel for Philistia, not because God told him to, but because he feared Saul. In verse 10, the Bible specifically states, "And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul." It doesn't say David left because God was telling him to, or that the Word told him to, or that the Holy Spirit was telling him, "Hey, you should go over here." But David, by his own fear, he decided, "Man, I got to get out of here. I got to go." He even lied to do that. Ahimelech knew something was up, but David lied to do it. Something very interesting, I thought, David was so afraid of Saul, he went to Gath. And Gath, now, keep in mind, I can just picture this in my mind. Like, David, he went to Ahimelech the high priest, he got the food, and then he got the sword. This is Goliath's sword, the man who he had killed, the giant. And this is the same sword he used to cut off Goliath's head with. And now he's strapped it to its side. And now he's going to Gath. He's going to see King Achish, and he's going to Gath. And Gath is the hometown of Goliath. Yep. That's a pretty gutsy move. I mean, the man you killed, you're carrying a sword, and not, just on top of that, with the cherry on top, you know, he's going, I'm going to go to his own hometown. Who knows? Might see his family. And that's pretty gutsy. He's going to his hometown. He sees King Achish, meets that man. And in verse 11, he's spotted by some people. He's spotted by the servants of Achish, and they recognize him. They understand who he is and what he had done, and they sing this song about him. It's found in other places in the Bible as well. And we'll look at the song, and it says, Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? Man, it's not, because they did sing the song earlier in the chapters. It's not just the song that they're singing. It's the people who are singing it that made him fearful in this instance. It's the people who are singing it. Now, David, he's wandering this way because he doesn't feel like there's a way. He doesn't feel like the Lord's making a way for him in this area. And that's usually when the lights on Gath shine really bright in our lives. When we want to work in our own flesh and we want to work in our own might and our own strength. And David was enticed by the thought of finding refuge in Gath. David was afraid of King Achish because the Philistine servants found out who he was. Now that song, as I said, it was found in 1 Samuel chapter 18 and then 1 Samuel 20. Now these men knew all about David and who he was and the other Philistines he had killed. David has slain many of them. Saul has slain only a few. And these men, they're probably standing back, looking at David walk by with that sword and thinking, I remember this guy. He killed my brother. He killed my friend. I can just picture it. Just something like that. Like they recognized him. And David's sitting there. And in the verse to come, he has a reaction to it. He has a reaction to it. Now David took the recognition to heart and began to fear the one he sought refuge of. In verse 12, David laid up these words in his heart, the things that the servants had said about him, and was sore afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. It's like he's walking by and the servants are over here and they're looking at him and they're saying, this is the guy that killed all of our people. And they sang this song about him. And David stands, maybe stops and looks around and he's like, oh man, his heart sinks and starts breathing heavier and eyes wide. They know who I am and I'm in their territory all by myself. What am I going to do? It's pretty scary because not only was he just afraid of Saul, he was fearful of Saul, but in his own mind, he's also afraid of the man who he's seeking refuge of Achish. He's afraid. Now fear, the thought of these servants knowing who David was startled him. He may have thought they're gonna kill me, they're gonna do something, maybe they're gonna do what they did to Samson, they're gonna pluck my eyes out. I don't know. And fear causes us to react to things that haven't even happened yet. We start thinking about certain situations, we start thinking about things. It may go this way, it may go that way, we're not sure, but you start mulling things in your mind, things that haven't even happened yet. Kind of like David did. And fear usually stems from words that have taken place in our minds. And fear has David moving to Gath and thinking about things that haven't even happened. And leaders may soon dread the situation their fearful choices put them in. Now, when a leader reacts in fear, they have to take care of all the details their choices put them in because they're not putting their faith in God. And it's like, If you put your faith in God, then He'll figure out all the details for you. But if you try to do it in your own strength, then you're going to have to be that one who tries to figure everything out because you're trusting in yourself. David has to take care of all the details in the situation. Now, David takes measures into his own hands and he tries to fix his problems because his original plan had failed. In verse 13, the Bible says, and he changed his behavior before them and feigned himself mad in their hands and scrabbled on the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. His original plan had been to, in their time, when a man who was valiant like that, who could lead men like that, and he was now at odds with Saul, the king. He was going to go to King Achish. And in their time, David could have been hired as a mercenary and could be hired for a good price. And so he was going to Gath to try to figure out and see if King Achish would hire him for this. But things didn't work out that way. And David soon did this, what we had read in verse 13. And David may have been thinking, you know, I'm not going to be living here for long. I'm just going to be here for a little bit. I'm going to go to Gath until God shows up and gives me direction. You know, when you can't see a way, Gath is always there. Yeah. And here's how we can justify it in our minds. It's either temporary or we see how we can use it and make things work out in the future. When God's people are controlled by fear, they will often find themselves fleeing to Gath. David, he's relying on his flesh to get by in this situation. Now, verse 13, I think it's a quite vivid picture. You know, David, he's really, really terrified, petrified at this moment. He's thinking, man, if Saul's not going to kill me, then surely King Achish is going to kill me. I don't know what I'm going to do. And he's before the king, and he goes mad like a lunatic, starts scrabbling at the door, and spits falling on his beard. And I'm not going to do that because I'm already weird as it is, so... I mean, nothing's going to change that. So. And David's just doing this. I think he could be an actor on Broadway. This guy deserves an award or something because he tricked Achish, and he's going lunatic. He's going crazy. David could have been in a different place, but he had chose himself to do this. Now the Bible plainly states Achish saying, I don't need any more madmen here. In their time, they didn't have all like the vaccines and medicine that we have in our day, so they would have had a lot more people like that. And Achish is saying, you know, we don't need any more like that. Get him out of here. And that last statement in verse 15, shall this fellow come into my house? It's saying, is he going to come into my house? Because this guy could kill me. I'm your king. You're supposed to protect me. He's saying, get him out of here. And that's when David moved on to Cave Adullam. Now, you need to understand this. When leaders react in fear because they lack faith in God. Now, you won't lack fear with a lack of faith. When your fear is greater than your faith, you're going to have issues and you're going to want to react to that fear. David escaped the land of the Philistines and went to a cave, Adullam. The interesting thing about this is that Gath, it's on the inside border of the Philistia, and then Cave Adullam is just 6 miles outside of that border. And what the picture represents is that the Gath is a land of fear, and then the Cave Adullam is a land of faith. Because with Gath, he would have had everything that he would have needed if things had worked out like he planned, being hired as a mercenary. He could have had the food, the clothing, the bed, the house, and everything like that. But going to the cave, there's no promise of anything. He's just sitting there in the cave. There's nothing. He doesn't have any food, water, friends, nothing, no money coming in. I could just see him. He's sitting on the limestone, just sitting there. And he's wondering what's going to happen. He's thinking, God, how are you going to do this? How are you going to take care of me? How are you going to work this out? And you can just hear the water dripping in the background. And David's sitting there, he's wondering what's going to happen. What's God going to do? How's God going to work? Nothing good was coming out of the land of fear, so David went to the cave of faith. Adullam was David's place of refuge. He couldn't go to the house, to his house, the palace, Samuel, Jonathan, the house of the Lord. He couldn't go to the ungodly because that sure didn't work. But he could go to a humble cave and find refuge. The Lord wanted to be David's refuge in this time of discouragement. And fear will never fix your problems. Actually, David wrote two psalms in this instance when he was in the cave, or when he was going through this time in Gath. And Psalm number 34 and Psalm 56. Actually, we'll take a second, just look at Psalm 56 and read some verses from it. Give helpful insight of what David was talking about. Psalm 56, we'll look at verses 3 and 4. David says, what time? Well, we'll read the preface to the chapter. To the chief musician upon that guy, Miktam of David, when the Philistines took him in Gath. David says in verse 3, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me." He was afraid of his life. He had the impending danger upon his life. Fear was controlling him. He was terrified. And the Holy Spirit inspired him to pen that. Verse 11, "In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me." Verse 13, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver me, my feet, from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" David experienced this. He had real fear, real doubt. He was very afraid. But God still took care of him. He put his faith in God, went to that little cave, and he stayed there. And you know what God did? Chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, God went ahead and brought 400 people to David. He was now a commander of a motley crew of people in debt, people discontented, and also people in distress. Real rough group of people. That same man, Doeg, who we had read about in the first part of chapter 21, that man was a chief herdsman of Saul. Saul was looking for David, and Doeg had told Saul about David. And then Saul went ahead and paid a visit to King Ahimelech, or the priest Ahimelech. And he had told him, "Hey, David was here." And the King Saul didn't like that. And he told his footmen to go ahead and slay all the priests. Go ahead and kill them, murder them. And they didn't want to do it. So he said, "Doeg, show them what you got." And Doeg the Edomite, he went ahead and killed 85 priests. One of them escaped and went to see David. And I love it because David's response, he learned from something. David learned and his thoughts began to change. And he was a changed man. Look at verse 20 with me in chapter 22. "And one of the sons of Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, named Abiathar, escaped and fled after David. And Abiathar showed David that Saul had slain the Lord's priest. And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul, I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house." David says, "Abide thou with me, fear not, for he that seeketh my life seeketh thy life." That's encouraging. "But with me thou shalt be in safeguard." Amen. David's telling him, "Hey man, I've experienced that fear too. I've been in that place too. This king over here, King Saul, wanted to kill me. They're going to want to kill you too. Don't be afraid. Come with me. Come with me." Fear will never fix your problems. Fear will never fix your problems. Putting faith in God, who knows all your problems, will be the only way of success. Why should we make our choices based on God's leading and not on our fear? Well, when people make choices based on our fear, then we are not acting in faith. Reacting in fear makes things harder on us, and it usually makes things 10 times more difficult, like what David had to do to get out of that situation. It was easy for him to go to Ahimelech and get the sword and the bread and walk in, but getting out was more difficult. The outcome could have been worse. Acting in fear means you are living in your own strength. Sometimes people fear about finances. Finances are a huge deal. They may say, "I'm living paycheck to paycheck. You know, ends just aren't meeting. It's hard. It's difficult. And they keep raising the rent, my car payment. My car just broke down. I got to fix that if I want to drive it. What am I going to do? I got to pay the utilities as well." You know, God knows all your needs and he can meet all of them. But you need to give him what is already his. Because you are going through some financial hardship, that doesn't mean you should stop tithing. I can't give God the money because I need it to do this. Because you're going through that doesn't mean you should hold back what's already God's. You need to give to him and he'll bless you. He knows what you're going to need and he knows how he can help you meet that need and he can supply it. Live by faith. God will take care of you. Now, what if your boss asks you to lie? What if he says, "If you don't lie for me, I'm going to fire you"? It's pretty crazy. If you're definitely fearful at this point because that's your means of income. That's how you get your money. But don't live by fear. Live by faith. You know what you have to do. You have to tell the truth. This may be the hard thing to do, but it's right. You're in good standing with God. I don't know if it's happened to you, but if somebody asks you to lie, you got to tell the truth. Even if it means friendships breaking up, you have to do what's right. You have to be pleasing to God, not to men. What if you make a mistake at your work and you're afraid of what might happen? You know, you have a real important document that needs to get filled out and turned into your boss, or you forgot to take the deposit to the bank and it had to be turned in on Friday before you left the office for the weekend. You know, you're too afraid to tell your boss, so you lie and say, I turned it in and it should be going through. I guess the bank is slow because, you know, it's just the bank. They run like the government. They're always slow. Or they're not working like the government now. So you could, hey, she got it. You could tell the truth and trust God with the outcome. Don't respond in fear and tell a lie about what had happened. Lying only makes things worse. It makes things 10 times worse than what it could be by telling the truth. The boss could forgive you. It could find grace. You could find grace and mercy. Or maybe you fear what people think about you. And you tell them stories and things like that, and you start manipulating how they might see you in their eyes, and you want them to like you, and you want them to accept you, but you start lying about things. You start lying about stories or telling them about things of yourself. Yep. And you don't lie or manipulate things to make yourself look good. Just be yourself and be who God wants you to be. Amen. Live in faith and just do what He wants. Be a witness to them. Handing out a tract can be a fearful thing for some people. But it's the right thing. Have faith and know that the spreading of the Word of God could help people to get saved. Getting right with the Lord can be another thing people fear. Because when you get right with the Lord, you may be asked to step down from something in the church, or it may be limited with some things, and people may look at you different. But it isn't how people look at you that what should matter. Because if you're living in fear, then you're going to want to people please. You're going to want to please everybody. What if they think this about me? What if they think that about me? It doesn't matter. You're supposed to be pleasing to God. Amen. Live in faith and know that if I'm doing what God wants me to do, then I'm in right standing. Yeah. I'm doing the exact thing that I should be doing. What matters to God, what matters is what God thinks about you, because He knows everything about you. It doesn't matter what others think. Now, faith always triumphs over fear of finances. Faith always triumphs over fear of unethical practices at work. Faith always triumphs over a fear of lying about something you did or have yet to do. Faith always triumphs over fear of people pleasing. Faith always triumphs over getting right with the Lord. You know, your faith should be placed in God, not in other people. Should not have fear. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. God wants you to have that perfect peace and that power in your life. And you can only have it through His strength and putting your faith in Him. If there is a cave God is calling you to, flee to it, not Gath. The cure to fear is putting faith and trust in God. You won't lack fear with a lack of faith. You won't lack fear with a lack of faith. All right, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, we'll pray and then we'll go into our invitation.